Welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 40 for June 26th, 2018. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, but if you listen to podcasts, we can also I also have it set up now that you can listen and subscribe to Timing Research, the Timing Research shows on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Today, we will be discussing your trade ideas. And so, over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to five symbols each. And I've put the list together, which you should be seeing on your screen right now while I'm talking. And so, we're going to go through as many of those as we can today. My name is David Kosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com. And I developed the show with Dean of Follow Me Trades. But he's off as moderator this week. And I have Matt Buckley here to moderate. So, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Hey David, thanks. I appreciate it, man. Always an honor to host Analyze Your Trade, especially on a day like today. After everybody thought yesterday was the a Fred Sanford clutch in your chest, this is the big one, Elizabeth. And today, nobody even remembers yesterday. So it's going to be a good session. Have a lot of good symbols that we're going to cover. As usual, David did a great job of assembling a couple, not a couple, more than a couple, 500-pound heads that we're gonna that I'm gonna talk to today. So Oliver from Schmalholz from newsquantified.com, good old Larry Gaines from Power Cycle Trading, and Roy Swanson of steadytrader.com. So gents, welcome aboard. Let's go top to bottom, and we'll stick in that order today, Oliver, Larry, and Roy. So Oliver, why don't you kick it off, man, with a quick, 30-second, 1 minute executive summary of your background, where you got your start or what you did trading, and then what you do for News Quantified.
Sure. Thanks for the intro, Matt. Great to be back on the show. I'm Oliver Schmalholz, the co-founder of News Quantified. We analyze the impact of news on U.S. equities and started that company back in 2012 after trading this exact same strategy from 2005 until 2012 exclusively. And the approach works in up, down, and sideways markets under all volatility conditions. So glad to be back on the show. And thanks a lot all for joining.
You bet, man. Okay, Larry, what tell us a little bit about your background and what you do at Power Cycle Trading.
Yeah. Well, again, thanks for having me. I've been on here a few times. It's always a lot of fun. Yes, I've been actively trading for over 30 years. Started my trading career out back in the 80s, trading oil, and ran a really large international trading company, oil trading desk for over 10 years. So a lot of background in the commodity side of things and a lot of background from there from options. We were trading a lot of options and we did pretty much all the different markets and foreign exchange. So it was a great learning experience. And so I've got Power Cycle Trading since about 2010, and it's an educational site and we like to use directional trading models and options to trade with. So that's kind of a little brief summary of my background.
Awesome. Okay, and Roy.
Hi, can you hear me?
We got you.
Okay, great. Roy Swanson with Steady Trader. Like a lot of people, I started in the 90s with big dot-com boom and online trading started up. And I worked for several trading education providers in the early 2000s and then went out on my own with Steady Trader about 4 years ago. We have a focus on short-term trading. Our motto is get in and out on any position within 5 days. Take your money while it's real. Very simple, straight-ahead strategy.
Awesome. Great. And real quick, guys, if you're not familiar with me, as David said, my name's Matthew Buckley. You guys can call me Wiz today. Got to fly for the Navy for about 15 years. Graduated from the Navy Fighter Weapons School, which many of you know is Top Gun, hence the name Top Gun Options. Got to fly with the Blue Angels. Got to be an LSO. And that guy on the right with the square-looking haircut—that's me. So I'd stand on the back of the ship when I wasn't flying to try and help my fellow aviators get on board, and then also flew 44 combat sorties over Iraq. Was always interested in finance when I was a young fighter pilot. I taught myself, as the internet boom was taking off, how to trade stocks and heard what options were and never looked back at another stock. Got picked up by one of the largest volatility arbitrage firms in the country at the time, headquartered right there in the Chicago Board of Trade, and felt like Valentine in trading places. Before I left there, I was the managing director of strategy for Peak Six Investments, and then was the founder and CEO of the Options News Network, ONN.TV, which I know a lot of you heard of back in the day. So we had a blast. We were essentially the CNBC for options. Had a great time doing that, but unfortunately, I'm not big on Chicago winters, and I live down here in God's waiting room in Boca Raton. So, and like we were talking before, gents, that we have a live event coming up this weekend, and I'm really looking forward to seeing a lot of our members. So, all right, let's go ahead. Let's go top of the order here. So, Oliver, our first symbol that people want to look at is Adobe. What's your take on Adobe?
Last earnings here on the 14th, even though they beat earnings, stock is down 4.5% compared to a little under 2% on the S&P. So I had a good run earlier in the year, but I think a lot of the momentum is out of Adobe. So I don't see it going anywhere until, you know, some major new announcement or the next earnings being a real, monster beat, sitting there. So no buy signal right now.
Okay. So just kind of neutral and hanging out. No,
hanging out. Yep.
Okay. That makes sense. It feels like that in Adobe, doesn't it? Larry, what's your take on Adobe?
Yeah. Well, first off, we've had some really good trades on this one, throughout the year. It's had you just said, it had a great run up, but right now it's broken down with everything else. So it broke some really key moving averages, and right now would not be doing anything unless, you know, actually it potentially could poise to go lower. What you want to be aware of is right here. This is a 50 simple moving average on the daily, and you can see that spike low here. So if this starts separating and closing below, let's say 235, kind of on a closing basis, this could easily pull back more. So right now it's a do nothing, no trade. And then you couldn't even get a retracement back up through the 382 here today. So it's got a lot of overhead resistance right in here. You can see these moving average clusters right there. So that's the 8 and 21. 8's about to cross over. So resistance right through here, 248. And then support down here, 235. It breaks that lower. And it's going to be, you know, needs to get back above this 248 level and start consolidating if it's going to push higher.
So it sounds like you're a little lukewarm on Adobe here. So maybe sit on your hands. Okay. I'd agree with that. Roy, what's your take on Adobe? And you might be on mute.
Yeah, sorry. I use three sets of indicators. I use some wilder things like the ADX and the DX. I use RMO, which is the Rahul Mohinder Oscillator. And I use the OBV, unbalanced volume for order book activity. I put those in triage, run them against every potential issue. I got three strikes on Adobe, nothing fired.
Hey, Roy, if you're trying to show your screen, I'm not seeing it.
I don't have the screen shot.
Oh, okay. No worries. I'm just making sure.
Anyway, I've got no play on any of my three indicators, and I'll make it unanimous.
Well, then that's pretty easy. I'm not, I'd say the same thing about Adobe. It's in my, it's probably, you know, on my kind of junior varsity list. Well, I gave away what I'd be in. I mean, Adobe, I'd agree with everything you guys said. I'm not going to re-chop everything. You know, it's in the tech sector. Obviously, we all know what it does in software and programming. But if you're really looking for the behemoth and the Death Star, Amazon's where you need to be. This is the Death Star, folks. If you just compare 6-month performance of Adobe over an Amazon, Amazon's going to take over the world, folks. It's in everything from healthcare to Whole Foods. It's going to build its own FedEx and UPS. I get some of these junior names, but if you're looking to outperform, I agree with all these guys. Adobe's kind of just meh. It's lukewarm money right now. I think they really got to get off the mat here in order to start doing something. So I'm not super on Adobe either. All right, then let's switch over to ADI. Oliver, do you have any take on ADI?
ADI looks pretty boring from a news point of view the last couple of weeks here. As you can see, all low impact. If you scroll here, low impact if you go through the last earnings events, even though they beat earnings. The past 10 quarters, 2, 4, 5 have been either no reaction or a downward move here on the last one, on the last quarterly earnings. We're up 3.9% since then. But on the initial day, very mediocre move at 80% higher volume, down 2 cents. So looks like just moving sideways, not reacting strong to any news here, and that's what we are really focused on, trying to find those trigger events that push a stock into one direction from starting from a news event.
Agreed. Okay, Larry, any take on ADI?
It's almost exactly like Adobe. You can just—I mean, if you didn't even look at the symbol, you'd think this is Adobe. But you know, you can see we had a good breakdown, broke through these major moving averages, had that spike low below the major moving averages on the daily. So we've got support right here at 90. Call it 96. If we start to close below that on a closing basis, you know, it's going to be down to not you know 95. So. And potentially down here to that swing low right there at 93, but it's a no trade. There's no you know catalyst right now. It's trying to get back above these moving averages. And I like to look at what we call kind of a coiling pattern that I like to call a volatility squeeze, and I don't have any of those setting up. So It would be a no trade.
Agreed. I'd say the same thing. Roy, any take on ADI?
Same. Yeah, same as everyone. I get three strikes on this with my indicators, so no play.
Yeah, I'm not going to chew up airtime with that. I'm pretty damn close with all that stuff. It's kind of boring money right now, and not too exciting. So let's move on to AMD, obviously advanced micro device down here. Big move today, 2.5, almost 3%. Again, we're sticking in the tech and semiconductor space. So Oliver, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, that had a very strong buy signal at the last earnings here, the end of April 25th in the after hours. Had a nice almost 12% move that day and just kept triggering off some momentum. I mean, picturesque move here, you know, up 57% since then. A lot of momentum in AMD.
Looks like it's rolling over a little bit of late, though.
Yeah. I mean, once you get, you know, that far away, we're now, almost 2 months, a little over two months. It gets less impactful, but it's the perfect example how powerful if you just focused on, well, it went up 12% the day of earnings, and there's no more room for future on the future upside here. I mean, you could have almost gone 5x on that move just hanging in there with a protective trailing stop. It's a good example. Now, I think it's too late to get in. Wait for the next major move event, but that's a stock that reacts on news perfectly. I mean, that's one of the best symbols to follow.
It's had a monster run since the last earnings, as you can see, about 60%. I mean, that's just that ain't, even though it's a 1550 stock, that's a monster move since the last earnings. And it unless they literally really blow the doors off of it, I don't know how they're going to match that type of run. So Larry, what's your take on AMD?
Well, I don't have a trade set up on this one either. I mean, these are all kind of semiconductor stocks. They all are very similar. This one looks a little bit better than, ADI or Adobe. You've got pretty decent support right in here at 14, 14 and a half. So this looks like, it's still holding the 21. So if it just holds here, consolidates, this one could start the grind back up. But I don't have any other real catalyst. You can see here on the 5-minute time frame, you can see how it's coiled right here. So we could get a little bit more fall through here tomorrow, break that 382 and push up into here. But nothing too exciting, but looks better than the other two that we looked at, more poised for maybe a grind, a little bit more of a grind up.
What's your take, Larry? I mean, just on the overall, it felt like yesterday, I think CNBC always has these disaster lower third of the screens built in, like tech wreck. Yesterday it was here comes our second tech wreck, and then today they don't even talk about it. I know it's a lot of semis we've been talking about lately. What's your overall take on that whole sector?
My overall take is that everything was under pressure. If you just look at the S&P and just, look at the sectors, the best, we were looking at that today quite closely. The weakest sectors just are the industrials, XLI, and financials. They're still, under pressure. And the other sectors that look good is just the one, with the discretionary, with Amazon, and then you've got technology. So they look okay. But the S&P, if Navarro hadn't come out yesterday and started propping the market up today, I think we would have been down testing this 200-day moving average on the SPY down about 266. So we're stuck here. We broke a good support level yesterday at 273 right here. It's a 618 retracement. And then we went straight down to that 50% retracement, 270. And now we're stuck inside of that, trying to find a direction to the upside. But momentum has all been broken. And so there's no really good momentum to the upside right now. So we're just, it's just kind of a sideways price action until there's something else to catalyst to push the market. But right now the markets are pretty fragile. And you just have to look for very specific good setups. I think right now the oil looks maybe might be the best place to look for some good trade setups.
Yeah, I definitely, during the wrap up, I want to talk about everybody's take on oil, especially with the whole Iran sanctions or Saudi Arabia saying don't worry about it. So I definitely want to, we'll cover oil here in a little bit. Roy, do you have any final take there on was it AMD or, yeah, the last one, whatever the last one was?
AMD,
yes.
It's easy coming in third because I just agree. I have no setup on this one whatsoever either.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the if you're going to be in any of that sector, I think Amazon's the way to be. Their cloud services are they do what all three of the companies that we talked about do, and I think Jeff Bezos could find enough money in the couch to either buy all three of those. So I'm an Amazon guy instead of any of those names we talked about. So let's move on to number four here, CRISPR Therapeutics. Never heard of it, but Oliver, what's your take?
Yeah, they're a Swiss pharmaceutical company. That's an interesting example. So in December, the consensus forecast for their earnings was a loss of 71 cents. They came in at 0 cents, and that triggered a monster move. I mean, up 260% since then. The volume was quadruple that day, and since then, I mean, just keeps going up. There's a lot of momentum in that stock, so I would definitely keep that on my radar screen.
Okay, Larry, any take on this one?
Yeah, let's see if I can. Yeah, so this, you know, it's starting to look like it's going to rebound again. We've got some momentum starting to shift back up. I'd like to see it get back actually above this 66 level. This is a 618 retracement. If it can start consolidating like in this range, 65, 67 and a half, I'd give it a little time to let it work, you know, kind of build a little foundation. And then I think this one potentially has the chance to push back up towards those prior highs. So, you know, it's okay. As far as the momentum of the stock, you know, here's a 4-hour time frame. You can see it's starting to shift up a little bit here on the momentum. But it got yanked down yesterday, but held up, you know, that 382. But again, I would not be piling into this until it shows a little bit more stability getting above these key levels here. I'd say, right, for me, you know, if it starts pushing above that 66, that's where it would get interesting.
That makes sense. Okay, Roy, your take?
Yeah, I'd have to say the same thing. It's just, it's not firing on any of my screens. And I agree, if it starts to get up around 66, it would be worth taking a look at again. Not today.
Yeah, no, it's easy for me, guys. I do not trade biotechs, period, end of story. I think I traded ImClone back in like, what, 97, 98. You know, I was a biotech hot guy until... where was it? I forget. We had a guy lose $4 million in one trade. Here's your standard biotech story. This drug, whatever it was, Immunogen. Immunogen was the stock. Hey, Wiz, it passed phase one, phase two, phase three, and it, you know, phase four is coming out today. There's no way. Nobody's ever not passed phase four trials. Breaking news, Immunogen fails phase four trials, whatever the drug was, the stock's down 80%. In the blink of an eye, the guy lost 80%. I am not a biotech trader. To me, it's gambling. Unless you work in the company or you work for the FDA or on a congressional committee where they're allowed to conduct insider trading. Don't get me started on that. You don't know what's going on in biotechs, period. Literally, folks, you can wake up in one day and it's tough. Biotechs are tough to trade. I just don't. There's way too much alpha in other sectors out there for me to throw darts. So you will hear me MF biotechs like you read about. All right. So let's move on to the next one there. What is the top of the list there, David? Etz. What is it? ETSY. So Oliver, what's your take on ETSY?
We had a strong news event here that triggered a buy on the 14th, so a little less than 2 weeks ago, up almost 20% since then. They raised guidance. That was just around 8 a.m. In the morning in the pre-market, and that day, look at that volume, 17 times the usual volume. Up 19% that day, and has held up pretty well So good stock. If there's good news coming out, strong follows through very, very rapidly.
Okay, Larry.
Okay, so here you've got, you know, obviously you have this huge gap up right here. So here's the key level right there. Let's call it $40. Now, this past week you had the Supreme Court, you know, rule that, you know, the states could tax internet-based sales. And this is an internet-based company. That's where they, you know, that's what they do. So, you know, it's pulled back. It's lost its momentum. And this one actually could roll over. I was looking at just the other day, looking at potentially shorting it, but just kind of waiting. I think the better place is, you know, this kind of what we call an island gap. And so if it starts to break down through this lower part of the island right here, $40, I think that'd be a good short for probably a gap fill. So I would not be buying it here, and yeah, I'm a little bit more tempted to sell it.
That massive spike, a week and a half ago, that thing's fading. It looks like it's about to fill half that gap. Okay, Roy, any take on Etsy?
This one I actually think has some potential. I've got a couple indicators firing on it. If it goes up about 1% in the morning, I think there's a potential for a short-term gain on that.
Yeah, just looking, like I said, from a technical analysis move, that's a huge gap, a 25% move. Most stocks, if they do have a gap move like that, you know, if it's making a head fake to fill half this gap. So I'd probably sit on my hands a little bit. I don't think I'd be a buyer here. That's just a massive move in a stock that, you know, in the past 3 months is up. It's essentially flatlined. So that's not lighting the world on fire for me. So I'd hang out in that one. Okay, let's move on to, well, you know, this one, it's interesting because Gilead Sciences isn't necessarily a biotech for me, so I'll have a take on this. But Oliver, what's your take on Gilead?
Low impact news right now. If you go back here, look at the past couple news items here, even if you look at the past 1 year, some pretty low volatility in that stock. Last earnings was a miss. Down 5%, but has since then pretty much almost recovered to where it was right before. So don't see anything triggering a buy or sell right now in this.
Yeah, it's given a lot back over the past year. I think it's essentially flat. Larry, do you have any take on Gilead?
It's for me, it's a no trade. This has been one that's just been a messy stock. You can see it had a really beautiful breakdown there, right? But look, over here, you've just got tons of overhead resistance. These are all daily various moving averages. So, you know, sitting right here on these are moving averages as well. So it's just on a cluster of support here. If it breaks 68, it could, you know, push down lower. But there's not a whole lot of potential upside because you've got so much resistance above it. So yeah, I think there'd be better places that find better trades.
Yeah, it's almost like we're at a 1 year. We're exactly where we were a year ago, which isn't that. And yeah, there's a lot of upside resistance, and it's a news driven stock. I mean, this is your one press release away from the thing going, you know, through the roof or going through the basement. I can't stand throwing darts like that in these biotechs. So, Roy, do you have any setups on this one?
I don't have any setups on the indicators, but I do see that they just got a drug approved in Europe, so it might be worth watching.
Mm-hmm.
As you just said, the news can pop this one.
Just scanning some of the news stories, you know, they're battling, they're taking some billion-dollar lawsuit with GlaxoSmithKline on an AIDS drug. I mean, it's a lot of litigation, lot of unknown. So, like I said, I can't stand trading stocks where I'm mortified if my cell phone buzzes with a news alert and there's something going on. So, and I do a lot of consulting with these companies on the side. I do motivational speaking, keynotes and stuff. So I speak to a lot of these biotech companies, and you'd be amazed. I mean, obviously the employees are completely motivated on this drug or that drug, and then all of a sudden it falls flat on its face. So just be very, very careful with all of these. Okay, Groupon. This, I haven't looked at this thing in years, literally. I didn't know it's still in business, but, you know, a $4.37 stock. Oliver, do you have any take on Groupon?
Yeah, I mean, look at that here. They beat the last earnings. You know, stock goes down. It's the one before there was a miss, the one before there was an inline. It's hanging in there, but if you have analysts like the bid ask club, show up on ratings changes, UBS, that's a bigger one. Morgan Stanley pushed the stock up 3.5% that day, but since then, has gone down again. So it was a great momentum stock at some point, but it's just hanging in there.
I'd agree. Larry, anything on Groupon
when you're not one I'd be doing anything on, but you can just see it looks like it's still poised to break lower. So mm-hmm. I mean, it's just hanging here. It's got what we call a volatility squeeze, momentum's down. So if I was going to take a directional play, it would be to short it for a downside move. But it's just such a $4 stock. There's not a whole lot here to not a lot of meat on the bones.
The stock is at $4 for a reason. So it's not like they just woke up and said, we want to be a $4 stock. Yeah. I'd agree with that. I'm not too hard over on this one, but Roy, do you have anything on that?
No, I don't like to go below $10 myself, and $4 is just way too low. Plus, it's just not firing on anything. I agree. Someone just said it looks like it's breaking lower. So,
yeah, and I tell my members at Top Gun Option, I don't. If you're going to trade a stock under $10, you don't need the options. It's an option in and of itself. I mean, for a $4 stock, it's right. If you wanted to buy some. I call them lottery ticket calls. If you think it's going higher down the road or it's an acquisition candidate, my success rate with buying water cooler calls when somebody's like, hey, Groupon might be taken over is very bad. I wouldn't, if you're looking at maybe a takeover or just you want some lottery ticket calls, maybe you go out to the Jan 20 leaps and buy some deep in the money calls. But I'd avoid this one. Nothing, no meat on the bones, really. All right. IRDM, Iridium. Sounds like a movie with Matt Damon or something like that. But Iridium, let's get your take on that, Oliver.
Satellites. Well,
yeah.
I once made, that was actually one of the few option trades I ever made way back when. One of the biggest gainers I ever had on any position, well into the six figures. Worked out great, but haven't done too much since then. I mean, this whole satellite thing, requires a lot of CapEx and expensive to operate, and low high latencies on internet connections and stuff. So stock, I think, reflects that. We had an 8% down move on the last SEC filing on a form 4, and I don't see any setup here. Went down and retraced back to the mean. There's nothing I'm seeing here right now. Mm-hmm. Volume was 70%, 78% that day, 2.6 million shares. So mm-hmm.
That's a lot of volume too. I mean, you look at the average volume today was what, 830,000. I mean, that's not a massively traded stock.
Yeah. Yeah. 11,000 ticks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Larry, anything on Iridium?
No, not too exciting. I mean, it's just holding here on support. There's no, from what I look for, momentum catalyst, there's nothing I'm seeing that would really give this a big, big move. So it could just grind higher. I mean, it's holding support right in here. So just kind of a no trade, nothing mm-hmm. I would be too interested in.
Okay, Roy.
I think if it hits 1660 tomorrow, it's a buy for me.
1660. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I always like to see them go up a little bit the next morning to prove that it's still in a trend. And mm-hmm. I think this one is just about starting one.
Yeah, I kind of do the same thing. I tell my members often, hey, give me a day or two, because you really need to see if this is kind of pulling out of this nosedive here, because this right here is a tear, and that's about half the tear. So if it pulls back to right around there, I'd say everything that Oliver was saying, this is a tough field to be in, services and communication services. And like I said, I'm going to default to an Amazon, or hell, even a Tesla. We had rich entrepreneurs like Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos building their own space companies. This is, especially at a $16.50 stock, this isn't something I'd be jumping out of bed to be motivated to get into. Okay, what about Melco? Oliver. It's kind of a resort and gaming stock. What's your take on that?
Yeah, and it seems they have Asian exposure here in Macau. Grand opening, that seems to have been the latest thing. Might be capital intensive, and they might be a little late here to the game. And Macau stock kind of reflects that, down 10% in the last month. If you look at the past earnings events, they beat the last two, the last three out of four earnings events. Stock has been going down after every single earnings here. So it doesn't look too exciting to me as a, buy.
Concur. Larry, any take on Melco?
Just that, currently in a downtrend, the catalyst is down. The only thing is you do have this 200-day moving average. So this is going to be, you can see a lot of price support right here. You can see a lot of price action right there. So looks to be some pretty decent support right around that 27 type of range. But if it starts chipping away on that 27, it's going to take a few days, maybe a week or so. But if it starts chipping away and breaking that, then it's got a good potential to move lower. But right now, would not buy it. And I wouldn't short it until you can get this, 200-day kind of being chipped on.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'm more of a Wynn and MGM guy, which we'll talk in a second. But Roy, do you have any setups on this?
No setups on this one either.
Nope. Yeah, I'm not big into Melco. If I kind of did my Olympic scoring here, Wynn's been a great trade for us. I like Wynn and I like MGM, but Wynn's been a great trade ever since we were sitting on a live trade brief. I think it was a Thursday afternoon when this news broke that Steve Wynn, allegedly is Harvey Weinstein, but, out in Vegas. And we've been trading it ever since. This really has been a news-driven event. So I think Melco's got more China, Macau exposure than Wynn. Wynn has some serious upside potential. First of all, they got to change the name. Like I said, I do keynotes and I work with event planners and HR people. I know two companies that have canceled events at Wynn because of the name. They're like, a lot of our female employees don't want to go to Wynn Resorts because blah, blah, blah. So I think there's some upside in here. And then my second sin stock, so to speak, would be MGM. They're all kind of having this lackadaisical, descent into the, into the abyss here. But sin stocks, they come and they go and they have their time. But I wouldn't be in Melco. I'd definitely be in Wynn or MGM. All right, now let's get this one should be interesting aside from the charts. Oliver, how are you feeling about Starbucks?
Starbucks, yeah, that triggered a sell for us when S&P and Moody's downgraded the stock. Mm-hmm. I think it was last week, just before the drop here. Obviously, you have a leadership change. And if you look at the capital outlay, I think there's pretty much, the U.S. has a Starbucks almost in every corner. So it's all about, the international growth going forward. Yeah, it's not as excited as I was a couple of years ago about that stock when it was still in high growth mode. The question is, are you trying to catch a falling knife here if you try to buy it, or will it go down further from here?
Yeah, it couldn't happen to a worse company, in my opinion. But Larry, what's your take on Starbucks? This thing that doesn't even look like a falling knife; it looks like a guillotine.
Oh yeah, that just got slaughtered. So you can see here, just looking at your Fibonacci support levels, it's just basically hanging on this major support 618. That's the last line of support right here. This is a weekly chart, so you can see it's broken the 200-week moving average and just got crushed. And it's at the 618. So this is one, definitely do not have a buy signal, but I'd wait a little bit, get some separation if I was going to look to short it, because it is on the 618. So if it's gonna try to hold in, this is where it has to do it. And so what you want to do is look at your lower time frames to see if you get any kind of shift up, on the lower time frames to see if it can put in a bottom. But right now, it's just hanging on a thread. But I would not be shorting it here until you get some separation, a couple more closes down here below that. We'll call it, I think it'd probably be better, around $50. You get getting some closes below 50, then it could, push on down to 46 and then down to that spike low of 42. So that's definitely in the cards.
Okay. Roy, any your setups on here?
No, this is probably the least likely of all of them. As we see from the chart, it's just falling off a cliff, and the company's in a lot of flux right now. They just haven't been, they got to regroup, obviously.
Yeah, this is a stock I love to hate. I'm a big bear in a lot of the, I call them limousine liberal names here. If I were a shareholder, if I own this stock, I would be suing. Well, I'd sue the former skipper who turned Starbucks into the world's biggest toilet and needle exchange, and then 2 weeks later leaves. You have a fiduciary duty. You got to go Gordon Gekko on these things, folks. As a CEO, you have a fiduciary duty to your shareholders. It ain't to the world. It ain't to noble causes. That's not it. You have a fiduciary duty to the people that own your stock. You want to do good, take your company private. You want to be Robin Hood, you want to do great around the world, don't do it on my time. Your job is to make me money as a shareholder. This was stupid. Only limousine liberals math works like this. Yeah, we lost $15 million that afternoon, but it's an investment. Last time I checked, losing $15 million ain't an investment. I don't go to this place anymore. I stopped going to it when a year and a half ago, they said, Schultz again, said, screw President Trump, we're going to hire 10,000 illegal immigrants. Until they recognize that every homeless veteran, there's 60,000 homeless veterans in this country, said, are you effing kidding me? Why don't you hire some homeless veterans? Then they stopped. They had this whole, oh my God, we're sorry. And they came out with all these pro-veteran commercials. And then that. So stay away from stocks that engage in this type of crap, folks. This is dead money to me. I don't go there anymore, and I used to have a Starbucks addiction. I patronized my local Fort Lauderdale and Boca Raton coffee stores now. It's an awful stock. It's catching a falling knife, and it's become a household joke. How many of you, literally, you get a Starbucks and you walk 30 feet and there's another one on a different corner? It's oversaturated. I'd be bearish as hell on the stock. So other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how is the play? What is Oliver, TTWO? I don't know what is that, Take Two or something?
It's Take Two. And if you look at the past year, you had a pretty good app move here, down from 71 bucks. But since the beginning of the year, it's pretty much sideways. And if you look at the reaction of news here, it reflects exactly that. Pretty much everything that comes out, everything is low impact. Can't find anything that's really moving the stock. The last one was here on the 15th when KeyBank raised the target. It had a medium impact, but nothing since then. Up 5% since then on some pretty good volume, but it pretty quickly faded.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Larry, what's your take on this one? Take Two.
It's right here is kind of a no trade. You're sitting on a major support again. All these stocks look pretty similar. You've had a pullback with the broad markets in general, so they're just all hanging on major support levels. So they're going to be caught up, with whatever the broad markets do. So I have no momentum to the upside. There's potentially more momentum on this one to the downside, but nothing here until you start breaking this level at about, I'd call it 115, 114 and a half, something like that. You get some separation under here, then it's down to 110 pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I'm not big into this. Roy, do you have any setups on Take Two?
No, I think that somebody who is really into mean reversion therapy made the whole list. What do you think?
it does look like that.
They're all either heading down or this one's kind of flat, but they're just not triggering for me.
No.
Yeah, it's I'm neutral on this as well. Let's let's go with let's do UPS next, and maybe we'll get into our own trades here so we can save a little time. So what's your Oliver, what's your take on the big freight giant?
Well, if you look at your reaction to the last couple earnings releases, definitely some fear of what we talked earlier about Amazon taking over the transportation sector here as well, even though the last five earnings were all beat. Two of them had a negative reaction due to the guidance and, pretty mediocre reactions here, down 0.62% since the last earnings event when the S&P 500 is up over 3%.
Mm-hmm.
And also on, if you look at the volume, it faded pretty quickly. Quick shoot ups, 3%, 271% of the usual volume, and then retraced, right back volume wise, and price just couldn't keep the momentum going. So definitely, I think some fear on future, market share and where prices are going to head if Amazon becomes a serious competitor here.
I think you nailed it, my friend. Larry, what's your take?
Well, you can just see the charts are telling you exactly what you're saying. I mean, this is what we call volatility squeeze. See how compact and coiled the prices got, and then they broke down hard. So the next support's right here, this 618. So it's a little bit late to short it here. So, but I would definitely not buy it. It looks like it's headed down to about 108. You do have some price action support there at 108 and then 105. But, you know, you got a retracement. I would be looking to probably look to short this, but it's definitely a little bit late right now, but definitely do not want to buy that.
Yeah. Roy, do you have any setups on this?
I think it's all been said. It's heading down. Yeah, maybe. And again, it's probably too late to short, so not on my radar.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you guys. I, in full disclosure, I flew for FedEx for about 10 months, hated it, miserable, can't stand the night flying. But I have a lot of buddies, former Navy and Air Force buddies at FedEx. They are terrified. Just do a quick Google search, folks. Amazon buying airplanes. Look at the headlines. Amazon is building a $1.5 billion hub for its own cargo airline. Why is Amazon buying 210 acres near Kentucky? Amazon leases 20 planes, starts air freight service. Ladies and gentlemen, this is no joke. Donald Trump, I think, literally single-handedly has destroyed the United States Post Office. The last time, the president drunk tweeted against Amazon and Jeff Bezos, it's destroying the post office and everything like that. What do you think Jeff Bezos did? First of all, he didn't say a word. He's smart. He ain't like Zuckerberg or Cook, and he tries to avoid the politics of stuff. Aside from his tweet, or actually, what was it, like 2 years ago when the president was running, he was at a conference or something like that, and somebody said, hey, what do you think about Trump? He's like, I'd love to put him on one of my rockets and blast him into space. That was the last time the dude said anything. He sent a tweet on election night that said, congrats, Mr. President-elect, blah, blah, blah. So this tweet storm in here about how Amazon's getting a deal off the post office and this and that only accelerated the dude's plans to do it. Who is it? Carnegie? Carnegie. Dale Carnegie, or I think it was him. He looked at his oil wells and said,
I think it was Rockefeller.
Or Rockefeller. God, Carnegie, one of them. Said, dude, why do I just own the oil wells? I'm looking at these trucks and these trains carrying the shit away. I'm going to buy the trucks. I'm going to buy the railroad. I'm going to buy the steel. I'm going to buy the timber. I'm going to own I'm going to own everything else. So I think Jeff Bezos is going to go put a FedEx or an Amazon or a FedEx or UPS, not necessarily out of business, but I would not be in a UPS right now. Absolutely not. And Larry, you nailed it. This is that ain't a bullish looking chart right there. Again, I'm not just simply a chartist. You got to use the 7 inches of gray matter. That's the best trading floor you have, is the 7 inches of gray matter between your ears. So it's just use your brain. You wake up tomorrow and Jeff Bezos is doing a ribbon cutting on his new hub in Kentucky, and the FedEx and UPS are going to implode. It's just it's a matter of if. I'm sorry, when, not if. So I'll leave it at that. So, all right, guys, I'll tell you what. I always like, since we have there's four of us today, I always want to take a little time at the end here because we got all the kind of the users inputs here. But I want to get your inputs. I want to pick your head, Oliver. Starting with you first, man. What do you like, short, medium, long term, or what's on your radar? I always like to try and get a good juicy trade out of my guest before we hang up for the night.
Sure. It'll actually be a short. Triggered this morning, TREE, that's Lending Tree. So that popped up with a historic 2.4% on a similar move here in our on our news analytics dashboard here, pre-market, and stock went down over 8% after that happened today on some.
Wow.
So down $20 on almost four times the usual volume, almost 500,000 shares. So I would keep watching it closely. If the downside continues here from the move today, it looks like a great prospect, as a short candidate.
I like that. And not too many people are stepping in with short candidates. And that's, I like that. I'm going to write that one down. Larry, what's on your radar, man? Talk to us, Goose.
So that actually does look pretty good. I'd see if there's any bounce. If not, that does look like a potentially good short. Depends on, I don't know the options though. They might be pretty wide on the spreads, but, so a couple things here. A couple we've been watching. EOG is potential long. We've got it pushing back up here above these major moving averages. And here's a little bit of Fibonacci resistance right here, but it's looking pretty good. It's got some potential catalysts to push it up as far as, you know, just kind of a coiling price pattern. So EOG is one that looks like has potential to the upside. And the other one is Anadarko, APC. These are a couple of energy stocks that look potentially decent for an upside continuation type move. And here's Anadarko. So it's just been kind of consolidating up here at the top of the range. And I think has potential to move higher. So those are two that you might want to keep an eye on.
I like that. Very, very well put. I'm writing those down. Appreciate it. How about you, Roy? What do you like on short, medium, or long-term radar?
Well, again, I'm always on the next 5 days, so I only have one radar in this short term.
Okay.
I really like for tomorrow, I like Five Below. FIVE is the ticker on that. And it triggered all three indicators, which doesn't happen, but maybe once or twice a week. So it's really solid to me. If it hits 102.50 in the morning, I always have that caveat. It's got to go up a little bit after the open.
Okay. All right. That's a good, good tactical trade. For me, guys, The news out of China ain't good. I mean, serious headlines today. So we talked about this in my trade brief today. The Shanghai is technically, as of the close, is in a bear market, piling on the gloom in China. We got some macro data out of China last week. What was it? Retail sales and some other China stuff. And obviously, the escalating verbosity, if I can use that word, again, in a trade war, just ain't good. So I'd be bearish. We use the FXI. It's the iShares China large cap ETF. This thing right around here, we said to get out of it. I said, you know what? This whole Trump Z China thing, you know, mine's bigger. It ain't going to end well. And this is a falling knife. So kind of like Oliver, I'm looking at a short here. Right around here, I said, hey, I'd put on a bearish double vertical, which is an options trade where you not only put on a bear call spread, which means, hey, I don't think this thing's going up. So that's a bear call spread. But you use that, you take in the funds from that credit spread, the bear call spread, and you buy a bear put spread. I call it an afterburner trade because it's almost like a fighter jet and afterburner. This thing, the faster this thing goes down or goes down, this is bearish double vertical, it's called, just prints money. So I don't see a bottom in China yet. I mean, we're looking, you know, a year and a half ago is when we saw this in the FXI. This is heading lower. I'm not going to say it's a contagion and it's going to spill over to us, but this, I really thought Larry Kudlow or Steve Mnuchin were going to kind of be the adults in this whole trade war and come out to a microphone and tell us all to chill out and everything's fine, but I haven't seen it. So if I was going to be bearish on something, it would be FXI. My long, to be honest, we have a couple longs. I like, and it's been getting beaten up recently, which would be a great entry, is Raytheon, a defense stock. I mean, it's Raytheon's in civilian purposes as well, but this thing literally swings around with the defense industry. I don't focus on individual defense stocks like a Boeing, a Lockheed Martin, a General Dynamics. Why? Because they're a Boeing or General Dynamics or any of those guys are like, they have single issue risks. Hey, we canceled these ships or we canceled these fighter jets. The good about Raytheon is it's the guts to all of, to a ship, an airplane or a sub. I sat behind an APG-65 Raytheon radar for 15 years. That might explain why I'm insane now. But it's the electronic guts of stuff. So we have a Jan 20 long call diagonal on. So, I mean, if this stock can perform under, you know, 10 years of sequestration and Obama, I think President Trump, who wants to turn a lot of enemies into hair, teeth, and eyeballs, I'd be bullish on Raytheon. This is a good entry. So, okay, sweet. Well, we are on time and on target. I'll tell you what, let's go around the room, starting with you, Oliver. Let us know how we can reach out to you, my friend, at News Quantified and get a hold of you or take a look at what you do.
Sure. We got two things here. Number one, you know, we got a lot of free resources on newsquantified.com. And it's not complete information. It's not all the news. There's a time delay built in. So if you want to get the full stuff, it requires a paid plan. And then David and I are doing a interview style training event later this week, Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern. And if you're interested, feel free to join. It's timingresearchcpr.com and brings you straight to this registration link Thursday at 8 p.m. Would love to tell you more and see you at the event. So thanks again for having me today. It was great as always, and look forward to coming back.
Awesome. Yeah, folks, definitely check that out Thursday night. And David, I'm sure we'll put a link to register for that in the follow-up email for this. Larry, my friend, how do we get a hold of you, man?
Yeah, so check us out here at powercycletrading.com. So come to our website, sign up for, you know, all of our content. We'll have a webinar actually this Saturday on some swing trading setups and how to use options for those. So you can go here and just click for Larry's upcoming events, free webinar. If you'd like to join us, please do, and come to my site, powercycletrading.com. We've got a lot of great trading tools that you can get, and a lot of option courses. So thanks again for having me here today, and it's always a lot of fun.
You bet, man. And like I said, next time I'm in Austin, I'm buying around on 6th Street. Love great city.
That's great. Thanks.
You bet, man. And Roy.
Yeah, we're at steadytrader.com, all one word, steadytrader, because we believe in basically looking at the situation every day and keeping at it to get better and better. Got a free book on the site called Read This First Before You Buy Stock. We've had over 10,000 downloads, so be happy to let you pick up one of those too. Just go to the site, steadytrader.com.
Awesome, Roy. Great working with you, my friend, and it's really easy to check out what I do, folks. Just head to topgunoptions.com. And if you want to take a two-week test flight into what we do, you can just kind of scroll down here. Even though it's the summertime, if you're a skier, these are kind of the three trials we have: beginner, intermediate, and advanced. Advanced doesn't mean holy crap, you know, he's trading reverse strangles with a butterfly twist. I don't even know what that is. I made it up. It just means that's our weekly options trading service. And I think for like $38, you can take a two-week test flight. Let me show you what we did since yesterday. As the market sold off yesterday and the volatility popped, we put on a bear call spread on VXX, a good a proxy for vol. We did a one-day trade. It was risking what, 50, 100, or $5,000, and we closed it today for a $1,500 credit. So really nice looking trade on VXX. We trade weekly options every Monday. So it's not necessarily like they're advanced. Where it is, we put the bear call spread on here and closed it right around here today. So nice one-day trade, risking $5,000, made $1,500. And I think the max potential profit on that was $2,100 or something like that. So nice 70-75% profit on the credit we took in. So really happy with what we do here at Top Gun Options. So just stop by topgunoptions.com and you can check us out. If you don't want to take a two-week trial, you just want to make sure I'm not mental, you can head to the same homepage here and you can get our daily video right there on the homepage. Just put your email address in there. So, all right, David, finishing right on time, on target. I'll turn it over to you, my friend, and thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks, guys. Great show. Just a reminder, be sure to hit the YouTube subscribe button if you haven't yet to get updates on future shows. And also be sure to search for Timing Research on whatever podcast network that you use, so you can listen to the Timing Research shows as podcasts now. And as Oliver mentioned, we'll be doing this event. Him and I will be doing this event on Thursday night at 8 p.m. Where he's gonna talk to you about how he trades and give a good presentation. So just type timingresearchcpr.com into your browser and you can find more about that, or get a link on timingresearch.com. Be sure to join us next week, the Crowd Forecast News, July 2nd at 1 p.m. For the next episode of that. Also, this show is going to be off next week, but we'll be back the week after that. And that's it. So just want to thank my guests again for this week, Oliver Schmalholz of newsquantified.com, Larry Gaines of powercycletrading.com, Roy Swanson of steadytrader.com, and Matt Buckley of topgunoptions.com. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, fellas. Hey. See you later.
Thank you. Thanks, Matt.